And now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
You people in the media, I think, Phil, have been speculating nonstop about what happened 2 Fridays ago on a lonely street in Studio City. I, as an attorney, believe that my clients have a right to hear their stuff because the Los Angeles Police Department made it very clear in their requesting the media to stop all speculation concerning this investigation.
All right. Will you, Harvey Weierman with us, by the way, an attorney who has sent me a letter along with several other media outlets around the country asking us to cease our conversation and our discussion about the Robert Blake, Bonnie Lee Bakley murder inquiry into which the LAPD is investigating. That's correct.
You got the letter, didn't you?
I got the letter from your office.
I think it's pretty evident. Last night, the Los Angeles police asked the media to quit its speculation. And I thought they were clear in their requesting the media stop all speculation concerning this investigation. And I got no problem with it.
Well, I got a letter from your office asking me to stop speculating and conversing and taking phone calls from listeners about Robert Blake, Bonnie Lee Bakley, and the LAPD ongoing murder investigation because the media is fueling a lot of wild rumors.
Yes, you heard the Los Angeles Police Department say that that's what's happening. Look, I got no problem with you. I'm not a listener to your program, sir, but you sound like a fairly intelligent man as far as it goes. See, I don't know anything about what you do, so I don't know how many brains it takes to do it. But what we're concerned with are the people that you broadcast to.
You're talking about my listeners now.
Yes, I'm talking about your listeners. Many of them gullible, not very sharp. Obviously, LAPD and the DA's office would be concerned about you contaminating a potential jury pool with all of your... I'm looking at the press release on your show. Your comedy, I guess.
Well, that's what we do on the show, but...
All right, but...
But how can you send me a letter and tell me to cease and desist? This couple that requested that you write me, Mr. and Mrs. Thomas Blondell of Monrovia.
That is correct. They are business owners in Monrovia, and they are concerned that you and your speculation, along with all these other talk shows... We'll get all these people that listen to your program get their heads turned around with a lot of stupid ideas.
Now, what kind of business do these people own?
Mr. and Mrs. Blondell?
Yes.
They own a grocery store, a very successful small grocery in San Dimas. Through their experience, they see a lot of these marginally educated people coming into the store. You know, they order their pack of Camels and their bag of Funyuns. And they stand there and they say, hey, got the O.J. trial on, huh? Watching the Robert Blake deal, huh? But, you know, these people have become increasingly frustrated over the last 2 weeks with customers that bother them over whether they carry the Globe and how they want to read up on the whole Beretta killings.
All right, Mr. and Mrs. Blondell own a grocery store. Apparently they have the news on, and they have a TV on in their store.
That is correct.
All right, and they're watching it, and the people walk in.
Yeah, they come, they want to get the Globe, and they want to read up.
Well, these are people that are interested in what's going on, and...
So, I please don't get me wrong. I know they're interested, but what you're dealing with, and it's one of the great tragedies of America today, these are the actual human beings that we're going to have to pull in for a jury. Now, you got a load of that O.J. jury, didn't you?
Well...
Didn't you?
Yeah, I saw them, yeah.
There you go. That's all you need to know about how the brain surgeons are just absolutely sailing through our society. Now, you're going to get the same group of people, if I may say, on a jury pool. You can't go giving your opinion about this Robert Blake thing to all of these people listening to your show because they're just going to start forming their stupid opinions, and the next thing you know, they're going to be standing there looking at a TV in somebody's grocery store, one finger in their nose, the other one fingering the change in their pocket so they can get themselves another blast, oral blast, or some Hostess cream pies or something.
All right, Harvey, you got a very low opinion of the people that listen to my show and talk radio in particular.
It's nothing personal. It's business, like we like to say in my business.
But I don't think you can legally send a letter to me telling me that I can't talk about the Robert Blake, Bonnie Lee Blakely situation.
I have sent you that letter, sir, asking you as a gentleman to cease your speculation about this.
All right, but let me give our phone number out. My guest is Harvey Wireman, an attorney representing a couple of my listeners who want me to stop talking about the Robert Blake situation because the LAPD has requested, well, they say that the media speculation is hurting their case. 1-800-449-8686.
It's a Phil, if I could just jump in.
Go ahead.
They don't really care what the LAPD is saying. I think that Mr. and Mrs. Blondell are concerned about the idiots, and I don't want to use it, but the idiots that listen to the radio and get the wrong...
Well, let's talk about Mr. and Mrs. Blondell for a minute, okay, if I might.
Go ahead.
I mean, talk about the idiots that listen to the show or the idiots that listen to the radio. Are these two people brain surgeons?
They happen to own their own business, sir. And they happen to have a very successful grocery. And
so they're not concerned about their being polluted by media speculation. They're not...
No, they're not. These are two people who... No, they're not. And I don't think that it's... We're talking about... I'm saying the majority of a lot of these people, especially in the city of Los Angeles... But I imagine it's true in Philadelphia and Atlanta and Miami and all of the major cities, Dallas, Houston, whatever you want to say. You got a lot of real morons checking into your show. I have listened to your radio station in particular, and I did that in advance of writing the letter. I have never in my life heard such imbeciles.
Well, now I think you're over the top, man. I don't think that you can say a broad stroke like that, that everybody that listens to talk radio is an idiot.
No, you cannot.
And you can't say that because we're talking about the Robert Blake situation, that people are going to get the wrong idea because of our speculation, and that contaminates the jury pool.
The O.J. jury, were those brain surgeons?
Maybe they weren't the best jurors in the world.
Holy jeez, not the best jurors in the world. These people.
But I don't know anything about their professional background. There might have been a lot of teachers or professionals.
I doubt it. I doubt it sincerely. You keep talking about this stuff, though, and so we are telling you as a result, and anybody who has the time to sit in a jury shouldn't be walking around anyway. And this is exactly who we're going to be, you know what I'm saying?
So that anybody who has the time to sit on a jury shouldn't be walking around.
They ought to be lying down somewhere. And
why do you say that? You're an attorney. You need juries.
Absolutely. But I'm in favor of professional juries. I'm not in favor of the system we have right now, because the juries that we get, I seriously believe that most of those people should be medicated or in some way reconstituted mentally, because there's a whole slew of danger that you're in when you're talking about these juries. And It's frustrating to me.
Can you legally tell me to shut up by sending me this letter? I love lawyers that send letters with a letterhead, and I'm supposed to be threatened by that.
You're telling me that you're not. You're saying you want to make a fight out of it.
I'm saying that I have a constitutional right to talk about this stuff. I'm saying that I don't see a judge's signature under anything here. I'm saying that I see your signature. I don't even see the... I say that you're representing a Mr. and Mrs. Thomas Blondell of Monrovia, and they don't want me talking about this crap. And
that's right, they don't, because there's just too much room for error. You drop enough of your opinions, Mr. Hendry, which I don't know how informed they are, and you drop enough of your dumb opinions... And
my dumb opinions?
And if they happen to be dumb on the wrong guy out there... And it's like giving a box of matches to a 3-year-old and a can of gasoline. Now, would you do that?
Mr. Wireman...
Would you give matches to a 3-year-old and a 5-gallon can of gasoline? I'm just asking.
Of course not.
Then why would you be talking about this case on the air, knowing that some guy out there would hear it, get on the jury, and when they get into the jury room, he starts playing with the gun, looking down the barrel? I mean, I am...
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Anita, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Here.
Good.
This attorney has just really ticked me off. He is so cotton-pick and arrogant. Who does he think he is, you know?
Well, ma'am,
American
people have
good opinions.
I'm a trial attorney. I'm a trial attorney, dear. I've tried many cases, so I've
That's
seen...
That's good. You have...
Okay, Anita, I got to put you on hold. Your car phone is breaking up. Can I put you on hold there through the break? God, sometimes we get people who are like calling from, you know, I'll ask them, where are you calling from? Well, I don't know. They do, you know, and I'm not putting them down or anything. It's just like they don't know. Where are you calling from? I just crossed over into Canada. I don't know where. I saw a sign. So I think Anita is probably somewhere where her cell service isn't great. We'll take a break. Harvey Wireman with us. He has delivered a letter, and we got this letter by messenger today, right, Mike? Demanding that I stop talking about the Robert Blake, Bonnie Lee Blakely murder inquiry because I could be contaminating the jury pool, and there's too many idiots out there that might be taking what I say for gospel. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
And now, Phil Hendry.
Okay, I'm talking with Harvey Wireman, who is an attorney at law, about the Robert Blake, Bonnie Lee Blakely murder inquiry by the LAPD. Now, the question that I have for you is this. If I stop talking about this, as you asked me to, because I'm contaminating the jury pool...
It's not even a matter of contaminating the jury pool. It's a matter of you talking about this this case. The public begins to form its opinions based upon its complete lack of knowledge. We saw the same thing in the O.J. trial, Phil. People forming their opinion about the O.J. trial. I never heard such imbeciles in my life talking about that one. And then we got a group of them for a jury. Now, you're going to get the same thing with Blake. And I can tell you, Phil, as much as you respect...
I think what you're doing is denigrating people not knowing how smart...
Oh, come on. Look, I can tell you about a very dear friend of mine. Bill Smay, and I know, did you know Bill?
No, I didn't. I know, was he an attorney?
No, he was not. He was just an old fishing buddy of mine. And he was a great guy. He got called to jury duty. He was a typical guy, walks into the jury room. They introduced a pistol and some slugs into evidence. And as you know, the jury is allowed to see the evidence.
Yes.
This guy, who's a very dear friend of mine, gets a hold of the gun and the slugs, and the next thing you know, this moron has accidentally shot himself to death.
In the jury room?
In the jury room. Because this idiot, he's looking at the gun, staring down the barrel. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. This is what I'm talking about. We've got to keep this kind of thing from happening. You keep talking about this Robert Blake thing, and you're going to have a jury filled with these Waldos and these Wallies. And every other kind of thing is all I'm saying.
All right. How the wheels of justice can turn...
Well, they don't turn very well.
With all of these idiots you're talking about. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Sherry, hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, first of all, with all due respect to Mr. Wineman, I have to take a little bit of personal offense to his comment, considering that many of the people that listen to talk radio are uneducated. I'm a successful female businesswoman.
Let's say I'm not talking about you.
Well, so that's true.
I don't doubt that there's a 1 out of 10 or 20 or whatever it is, Phil. You must have the statistics.
Yes, sir. In further continuation, Howard, of my statement.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, that's okay. I have served on a jury. I'm currently 43, and I've served on either a criminal or a civil jury about every 16 to 18 months since I was 18 years old. And in that experience, yes, on occasion you may have one or two people that are...
What are you serving on so many juries for?
Good question. In Texas, however, unless you cannot be picked more than one time per year, but other than that, you can be picked as often as you want, and they use driver's license and voter's registration, and lucky me, the system picks me.
Well,
I don't like it. I don't enjoy it.
Exactly.
When I serve.
And Sherry, the point is most people of your status and education don't like it, don't enjoy it, and we wind up getting Wally here from the corner gas station staring at the O.J. trial, eating pistachio nuts.
Well, so with
scratching his, and I don't mean to be offensive, but he's standing there scratching his balls 1 minute,
With all due respect, sir, I still must disagree with you in that I find myself, I mean, I serve on my a jury because it is my duty. You are correct in the fact that I don't like it. When I serve on a jury, I am not paid, with the exception of the $5 per day fee. However, I also think, and I'm a big fan of Phil's, but I also have to say that I think you're giving the people that listen to the show not enough credit and too much credit to the power of talk radio. Last night, sir, if you'll let me complete my thought.
I have to finish your thought for you.
Well, sir, no, first of all, I don't need
you. Gas station, and you see some guy with one hand scratching his nuts in the neck.
Would you get off of that kick?
Well, no, the next hand he's making you a sandwich.
Well, let me finish my thoughts, if you will.
This is the same guy that's going to be on a jury pool.
In watching the media, as I have, let me tell you the most damaging thing that I saw to Mr. Blake's case was an interview that Mr. Blake had with Entertainment Tonight last night.
Oh, there you go. Entertainment Tonight, a bastion of journalistic integrity.
Yes, that's true, however.
Are you putting me on Entertainment? They got that guy who plays bad piano, the broad with the legs, who I do enjoy.
The damaging...
Harvey, just don't babble, okay? What do you mean the guy with the piano?
Thank you, Phil. The damaging aspects, Mr. Wyman, were not...
Something wrong with... Hold on, Sherry, I'm sorry. Is there something wrong with your throat?
I need some waters.
Go ahead, Sherry. Get some water.
Bless his heart. I hope he doesn't pass away before the conversation discontinues.
Go ahead.
The most damaging part of the interview was what Robert Blake said himself about himself. That was very damaging. And I think it's absolutely insane. It's unfortunate that these grocers, these entrepreneurs, have nothing better to do with their money than pay this attorney to send you a letter.
My clients are well-heeled, and they...
Okay, Sherry, look, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Can you continue with the interview?
I can continue with the interview. Yes, I wanted to say that my clients have funded this effort on my with me leading the charge on the Robert Blake deal, because as I say, they see the parade of humanity every day coming in and out of their store, and
getting their camels and eating their Funyuns. I mean,
well, you know what I'm talking about.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Andy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey Phil, how's it going?
Yes, very good, sir.
Don't blame me for stating the facts that the average listener is a dumbass.
That's
just
great.
Wanted to say one thing about it, and I'm going to say the same thing that the woman just said. It just sounds like you are completely bashing people who listen to talk radio. You know, it would sound like, according to you, that you have nothing but trailer park trash listening to the radio.
Yeah, Andy, let me ask you, so you sound like a well-spoken man, but how many of these shows do you hear? Some guy calls in, he's picking wax out of his ear, and he's saying, well, I don't know, but I think maybe on the one hand you got a good point, and on the other hand you don't have a good... You know, it makes me want to put my face right through my own radio.
Well, and you can't help that. You're going to have people of different levels of intelligence and different backgrounds that listen to the radio and have an opinion.
Well, that's true.
You can't beat these people up for having an opinion, but the whole basis of your letter is that you feel that the people that are selected for jury duty are not of the level of intelligence they need to be.
Well, what about this guy? He was a dear friend of mine. He goes into a jury room with a pistol, and there's three slugs as evidence. The next thing I know, he shot himself to death by accident.
But who selects these people to sit on these juries?
Exactly. This guy served on a jury in L.A. County.
He shot him? What was he doing?
He was trying to see how the bullets fit into the gun or something. I don't know what he was doing.
But who picked him for this jury?
The people who are picking these juries
have to have the same level of intelligence, then, correct?
The people that are picking the same jury for O.J. Simpson and this guy, Blakely. Okay,
well, then we need to look at
Robert Blake.
And who's picking these juries?
Well, no kidding.
The people who are picking these juries can't be any smarter than the people that they're picking.
Well, buddy, I can tell you they're picking them right out of the same pool of people that are tuning on the Phil Hendry Show every night and going, this really is mindless human. They're nice people, but they're debris.
Everyone to be a brain surgeon, and if that was the case, then you'd never have a jury sit.
You know what? You know what, Andy? Sometimes I think God's got a big push broom. And he just looks down at Earth, he says, well, time to get the push broom out. And that's when he whips down a hurricane or a tornado. It's like a big push broom right off into the gutter.
Oh, man, what a feeling you have for humanity.
I love them all, including my friend Bill. He blew his own brains out with a gun.
Yeah, with a gun he was playing with in a jury room. 1-800-449-8686. Harvey Wireman and Phil Hendry. Back in a moment.
And now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show. We're going to do a little round here now of True Talent or Full Pant Load. And we've got a fairly decent list today of the True Talent people. Now, this is how we play this game in True Talent or Full Pant Load. Basically, what you have to do is call up and then guess as to whether or not the name that we give you is a true talent or just a pant load, just a sort of a puff piece, just a media invention that's going to just go away very quickly. And it's very simple. You just call up. We give you the name. You tell us, is it a true talent? Is it a full pant load? 1-800-449-8686. Now, if you're right, you'll hear this sound. Wait a second. Where are we here? If you're right, you're going to hear this sound. And if you're wrong, you'll probably hear some other sound, which we don't get. We'll get it for you in just a moment here. Maybe it'll be the Monday Night Football theme. You suck. That's basically what that means. 1-800-449-8686. And, you know, we were pulling the names together for this today. You keep going to the same old names like, I don't know, we wanted to go to... who the people you were telling me about, man, like Matt Damon. Forget it, you know. These got to be people that are still sort of on everybody's mind. And we'll see whether you guys have got it or not, whether you guys actually have the cultural wherewithal to answer our questions correctly here on True Talent or Full Pant Load. Chris? Does Chris?
Yes, it is.
Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready, Phil.
Let me hold on for a minute. Okay, Tony Soprano, True Talent or a pant?
True Talent.
You're wrong. He's a sack. Tony Soprano, not James Gandolfini. Tony Soprano is a pile. Tony Soprano's screwing his life up. Tony Soprano has got a great wife. He's cheating on her. This guy is nobody to emulate. He sucks. If those guys that are doing Sopranos, by the way, really want to end that show with a bang in the fourth season, they ought to have him whacked. That would be the only just way for that show to end, because Tony Soprano is nobody to... he's got no talent. He's got talent. He's got talent for screwing his life up. Not James Gandolfini. That guy's got true talent. Tony Soprano, that guy is... sucks. How do you like that, using the Monday night theme for you're wrong? There you go. Maybe it's because that show hasn't been right for so long, you know. And what is your answer? The sky is blue. You blew it! All right, let me go here to Paul. Paul, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Hello.
Okay, the cast of Friends, true talent or a pant load?
Pant load.
That's right, fetid pant load. Show blows since it couldn't get up against Survivor. Ben Affleck, talent or a pant load?
Talent.
He's a talent?
Yeah.
He's a real talent for being a pant load. Thanks for your call. Ben Affleck. Some nice stuff early on. Now he's got that Pearl Harbor. This guy's not knocking me out, okay? What do you think, man? What do you think? What do you think of the Ben Affleck? He's sort of nondescript, I think. So far, not so good. Let's move over here now to Steve. Hi, Steve. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Steve? Oh, I didn't even punch the button up. I'm sorry, Steve. You there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, brother. Here we go. You
all
ready?
Right.
Paul Hogan, talent or a load?
Paul Hogan.
Yeah.
Crocodile Dundee?
That's the cat.
Pant load.
Minnie Driver and Josh Brolin. You know that new couple,
yeah,
James
yeah,
Brolin's
yeah.
kid, Minnie Driver with the...
Yeah.
The job
half
that
and half. Pant load.
What'd you say?
Pant load.
Full steaming pant load. All right. Martha Stewart.
Pant load.
Pantlodia. Okay, now that's three in a row, man. That means we're going to put you on hold because you do stand to win a picture disc from us if you can actually have the most correct
awesome.
Answers in a row. Renee Zellweger, pant load or a talent?
Talent.
That's right, because she sort of sucked, but not a new movie, and who knows. Okay, that's four in a row. Let's go, Steve, to our next question. That whole Pearl Harbor thing, true talent or a load?
Oh, man, that's So disregard the Ben Affleck comment, right?
Now, the whole Pearl Harbor thing, what do you think?
Talent.
It's a load. Not that Pearl Harbor itself was a load, but the whole thing going up to this. Anyway, you got four in a row. Let's see. One, two, three. Four in a row. Hang on the line there, Steve, okay? Yet Pearl Harbor, the event was a great moment in America. We came back from it. It was a great thing. But this movie that I've been hearing about, and Disney, they don't want to really focus too much on the authenticity of the historical accuracy of the film. It's going to be it's a romance now, and who cares if the planes look real? And you know what? They actually heard them say, "Geez, that animation, those planes just looked like those dinosaurs in Jurassic Park." That's great. Dinosaurs, I can understand looking a little animated since there ain't no real dinosaur for them to stick in the movie. An airplane, I think they got a few of those. All right, now let's go on to Lewis. Lewis?
Yeah.
How are you?
Hey, good.
Here we go, man. Alec Baldwin, talent or a load?
Load.
He is Load Berg. Haley Joel Osment, true talent or too much?
Pant load.
No. He's a talent, but three names is too much for a kid, so drop one of them, Haley. How about Joel Osment? That sounds macho. That sounds butch. Okay, we still got Steve in the lead. He had four in a row. We'll move on to our next caller here, and this is Sal. Sal, you're on the Phil Henry Show. You ready?
I'm ready, Phil.
All right, Angelina Jolie, a talent or a pant load?
Oh, man. I'm going to have to say talent.
She's a total frontal talent.
Cool.
A-Rod, talent or a load?
Define it for me. His baseball skills or his
just got to go. You're going to have to trust me on this. Talent or a load?
He's a talent.
$252 million worth of talent, man, just pulling off that deal. Woody Allen, a talent or a load?
I love Woody, talent.
No, you can't keep riding on the laurels of one movie for 25 years. But thank you very much for playing True Talent or a Load. Steve, you're still up there, man. Steve with four in a row. Let's move on down the line here to our next caller, and that's Pat. Hi, Pat.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Good. Here we go. Tom Green, talent or pant load?
Talent.
He's got a great talent for sucking cow teats. All right, Kobe Bryant, talent or a load?
Talent.
Allen Iverson, talent or load?
Talent.
Okay. That was he is talented. I don't know. Why did we say he was a load? Just because Mike doesn't like black people. That's it. Thanks. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Of course, I'm joking, but the damage has been done. Yeah, keep Steve holding. Yes. Oh, you got his phone number already? Okay, well, then go ahead and hang up on Steve. We'll call him back if you... Well, do you want to keep calling him back if he wins? Just keep him on hold. It's all right. Moving on here to Oscar. Hi, Oscar. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Good. Now, here we go. Regis Philbin, talent or a load?
Pant load.
Now, he's good because he keeps reinventing himself as a talk show host, as a sidekick, as the host of a game show. Next thing you know, he's going to be a brain surgeon if he ain't already. They're going to send him to Mars. He's the next guy in space. He's the next guy to buy his way into space. Here is Mike on the Phil Henry Show. Mike?
Hey, Phil, how are you?
Here we go. Jeff Probst, talent or you know what?
Load.
Hey, suck, you kidding me? The guy nailing a gig like that, he's spending 1 year in the Outback, the next year out, and he's kicking it with all these... Get out of here. He's got to have some talent for something. All right, here we move on now to Tom. Tom?
Yo.
Destiny's Child.
Load.
They ain't TLC.
Loads.
Bon Jovi, talent or a load?
Load.
So are you. Bon Jovi, their last live show, I understand, was very good, although I can't be sure. Mike told me about it. Now, moving along to our next caller here, Tom in Boulder Creek. Tom, you need to get four in a row here to beat Steve, who's still hanging on.
Hey, no problem.
And here we go. Katie Couric, true talent or a load?
Massive, steaming pant load.
A perky load. Joey Ramone, true talent or a load?
I'd say he's a talent.
Nicole Kidman. Yes.
Ooh, that's a stumper there. I'd say, how about load?
She's a very nice and lovely load and a half. Brendan Fraser. That's three, man. You need two. Let's see. What did Steve have? Four. You need two more to beat Steve. Brendan Fraser.
I'd say load.
He's a full-bore, record-breaking load with that mummy crap. Okay. How many has that been? Katie, Joey, Nicole, and Brendan. You are now tied. This will give you the win. if you can answer this answer correctly. Eminem.
Oh, I'd say, oh boy, here we go. Talent.
You're right, talent. I will not be swayed by peer pressure. You're a winner, man. I'm just playing this music because it's festive, all right? Okay, Tom, hold on the line. You win a Phil Hendry picture disc, cool?
Do I win a six-pack of tab?
Yeah, six-pack of tab, man. And a visit from Chris Norton. Steve, thanks a lot, man, but that guy just beat you at the wire. And Steve already hung up. I would, too. What the hell?
Yeah, that's great, Phil. Screw you.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
You wanted to say something?
Yeah, I want to talk and comment about what I heard Harvey Weinman say.
Get up to the microphone, then.
Right. I want to comment. I heard what Harvey Weinman say.
What?
Well, I know he say there are people who are not smart enough to be on a jury pool, and...
Were you thinking about that?
I was.
And what were you thinking about?
Well, he might be right, you know, because I don't think I...
You don't think you'd be a good juror?
No, I don't. I don't think I'm dumb or anything, but come on. I mean, I screen the phone calls.
Bud, by the way, helps Mike screen the calls. What do you hear when you hear people calling the show?
Just really...
Did you have to do that?
I sorry,
huh? What do you hear when people call in?
Real stupid people and everything, and it's sad.
So you're not talking about yourself. You could...
No, I could work jury duty in my sleep. I can get information and figure the whole thing out.
But the people that call are...
Yeah, they're really dumb.
Okay, bud. Well, maybe we'll... Take a picture of you, put it on a poster, and say, here is the ideal juror.
Yeah, it should do that.
You know, with your lopsided head and your steel plate.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, bud.
Uh-huh.
So Bud will run off now and go answer phone calls. Yeah, let's do that. Let's get a picture of him, man, and throw it up there, the ideal juror. By the way, speaking of the ideal juror, remember that guy that called last night from Green Bay? We had a guy call from Green Bay, and I asked him what he was drinking for dinner, because I could hear ice clinking in his glass, and he told me orange juice. And, you know, I got home last night, I thought, Henry, are you stupid? What are you, the guy's calling from Green Bay, Wisconsin, he's got brats on the grill, it's 7 or 8 at night, yeah, he's drinking orange juice. What do I look like, Pippi freaking Longstocking over here? I get, you know, this is the kind of guy that I am. I get the milk of human kindness running through my veins. I'll believe anything that anybody tells me. No guy sits in Green Bay. By the way, today is May 15th, and it's the opening fishing day in Minnesota. So that's a part of the country that I know a little bit about. I spent a year up there in radio, as I've so often mentioned, and, you know, it just stays with you. I don't know what it is. You spend a year in Minnesota, it stays with you. And May 15th, you wouldn't believe this, man. Like, for instance... I don't know what's a big day in California. I don't know what's a big day in Florida. What's a big day in Georgia? What's a big day in Pennsylvania or New York or wherever, or Texas, Utah, Oregon. But a big day in Minnesota is May 15th because that's opening day for fishing. And I couldn't believe this. The guy said to me, all right, Phil, now this is the guy that I was working for at the radio station. You know, May 15th is coming up. We're going to be doing our remote broadcast from Lake Mille Lacs. And we're going to what? We're going to go up and remote broadcast from the thing. What am I going to do? We're going to go up there and remote broadcast on the fishing thing?
That's right.
So you don't get Minnesota, do you? You're real different. I noticed this about you, Henry. You're real different. Okay, I'll go up because you're working Saturdays, you know, and I had this real weird shift up there. I was working like Monday and Tuesday, and then my 2 days off were Wednesday and Thursday. Then I worked through the whole weekend. Really weird, man. Yeah, I worked like Friday through Tuesday. 5 day, full day. You know, I had a full-time gig. It's just that I didn't have weekends off or anything. So the cat says to me, yeah, it's like I'm working at Costco or something. I work at the Price Club. 2 days on, 4 days off. Like, what am I, in the fire department here? I'm working for a radio station. Just let me go home, man. It's Saturday, okay? I'm a full-time employee. I got to get some kind of respect. Well, whatever. So he says, yeah, I got to go up there and do a remote broadcast there from the fishing lodge. And, yeah, you know, look, the fishing that I did, I can tell you right now, when I was a kid, I went up to Lake Kachuma with my old man out near Santa Barbara. We fished for bass. I can tie a hook on a line. I can throw it in the water. If I'm lucky, I'm not. Lucky. If I'm not, I'm not. I ain't watching Bill. What's that cat on TV who's almost, he's almost like an automaton. He's almost like he was a fire victim and he's got a new face. Bill Dance, is that that guy? I'll tell you, that spinning jig is the best one I've seen in quite some time. I'm Bill Dance, and oh, God, I love life. I got a big smile on my face because I've got all you suckers tuning in every Saturday morning to buy all this garbage. I've got a hat that says T for Texas, T for Tennessee. Sitting out there in my Paru, I'm full of crap. We'll be back with more of the Bill Dance Fishing Show in just one moment. And the guy's pulling these lunkers in, and there's a lot of guys sitting there, and they're tying off lures, and they got their hat, and there's all kinds of crap going on. Y'all buy my video. That's why I'm happy. Guy's got a big mouth of teeth. So I don't know from that. So anyway, they send me up there to the fishing lodge to do this show. And I'm going up there. The road is just, I'm getting run off the road by these guys with boats on trailers, boats on trailers, everything going north. You live in the Twin Cities. It's, yeah, we're going to go up and open up the cabin now. And everybody going north, man. I remember it was really weird. It was just like it never left me because after I split from Minnesota and I went down to Miami, that's when all this Minnesota chic started happening. Do you remember Fargo came out around 96 and Feeling Minnesota, that pile of crap that what's-his-name did with the other person, and then there was like another Minnesota. You know what I'm saying? Were there like five or six Minnesota movies? Grumpy Old Men came out all of a sudden. It suddenly was like hip to be in a ice house, you know, sitting there tying off lures and with a hip flask with a little Johnny Walker. You know, and your boat just sinks right into the lake because you put it on thin ice. Your whole truck, your Dodge Ram, just right into the water, man. You're on an ice floe, and you've got the Department of Fish and Game fishing you out, you know, about 5 miles down the river. You're heading for this, like, Niagara Falls. Some guy with a Mohawk haircut looking from a cliff going, white man, never too bright. Look at white man. Like Last of the Freaking Mohicans, this guy going over the... going over the falls. And all of a sudden, it happened. I leave this freaking state, and there's movies about it, and plays about it, and there's documentaries about it. I think the Twins even won a freaking World Series. No, they didn't. They actually sucked. Pretty good this year, though. Anyway, man, it was weird. And I got up there. So I did this shtick with this character that I created about how fish were actually intelligent beings, and that it got so weird that the fish were grooming themselves in the lake and used a certain kind of hair oil, and it was really strange, and I had these irate people, they took me off the air. The guy's just, you know, you don't dig the whole vibe here. These are people who are serious fisher people, and I'm kidding, man. I'm joking, dude. Are you kidding me, man? I'm talking about fish that comb their own hair. It's a gag. I understand that, but some people were deeply offended. Offended by what? But I made a joke about their fish. The guy's going to have it in a pan with some onion and garlic by nightfall, and he's bugged because I was offending his fish. Why? He wants the thing feeling good as it's going to, what is this, Mr. Limpet all of a sudden with the big eyeballs? You don't mess with a man's tackle. Well, you were messing with a man's tackle last night in the head. Well, don't, okay, I'm sorry, folks. We have to go off the air now. Talking about my private life. I'm sorry, sir. Mr. General Manager, sir. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.